Good morning, everyone, and can I ask you please to turn in your Bible once again to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17. Last week, if you were with us, I hope you remember, we began listening to one of the Bible's best known stories from this chapter of the Old Testament book called 1 Samuel. Remember, we found ourselves in the Valley of Elah on a day about 1,000 years BC. The Israelite army was in position on the hills on the northern side of the valley, and their terrible enemies, the Philistines, were lined up on the hillside opposite, and in between the Valley of Elah. And in the Valley of Elah, we saw the huge, terrifying Philistine fighter. His name was Goliath. He looked scary with his dazzling metal armor and huge, heavy, lethal weapons. He sounded scary as he shouted his abuse at the Israelites. He was terrifying. And we thought about what it must have been like to be among the Israelites and their king, Saul, on that day, looking out at the terrible enemy and shaking with fear. Sooner or later, there was going to be an engagement. And we began to think about how there is a profound sense in which we can, and indeed we should, identify with the trembling Israelites that day. There are enemies. Enemies that are too big for us to handle. Like Goliath. We thought about the Bible's all too true description of what life is like. And this is what it is like. Through fear of death, we are subject to lifelong slavery. Not the sort of description you want to focus on too much, I suppose, but it's true, isn't it? Fear of death. That's what, of course, was behind the terror that Goliath stirred in the Israelites, obviously. It might be a little bit less obvious, but it's just as true that death is our great enemy. Our Goliath, if you like, from which none of us is clever enough or strong enough to save ourselves. The enemy is too powerful, too terrible, too dangerous. So that when we see the enemy, we recognize what fools we are when we just go around in life saying, everything's okay, everything's okay. I tell you, no one on the Israelite side of the valley that day was foolish enough to think that everything was okay. There's nothing to worry about here. We can handle this. Oh, no, you can't. Take a good look at Goliath, and you'll find yourself joining the Israelites, as we saw them in verse 11. Do you see it there? Dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, friends, this morning we come to episode 2, the God of the unexpected. The God of the unexpected. People often think that God should do what they expect him to do. Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? The answer to that is, why should he? And the answer to that usually is, well, I think he should. That's what I think he should do. That's what I'd like him to do. But one of the most important things for us to learn about God is that he does not take instructions from us. He is the God of the unexpected. He doesn't see things as we see them. He doesn't do things as we would do them. He takes us by surprise. Well, come with me to verse 12 of 1 Samuel 17, where we take up the story this week. And what we find is that we are suddenly, I think surprisingly, taken from the excitement that was going on in the Valley of Elah. We are taken very quickly, about 20 kilometres to the east, to the quiet town of Bethlehem, where a young lad named David lived there with his father, Jesse, and his seven brothers. Verse 12. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had eight sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The three oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And so we are introduced, well actually we are reintroduced, as I'll see in a moment, to a young lad in Bethlehem. His name? David. David's three oldest brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, were among those we saw last week going down, gazing down into the Valley of Elah. Those three were among the crowds that we saw last week, and everyone were dismayed and greatly afraid at what they could see. But David, well, he was too young to join the army. He was just a boy. See verse 14, David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David, you see, had the job of looking after his father's sheep in the hills around Bethlehem. And he would take messages from home to his brothers in Saul's army and back again to and fro. But before we go any further, I want us to notice how strange it is that the story takes us from the really important things that were happening in the Valley of Elah, things that we wonder how they're going to work out, the Israelite army facing the Philistine army with the terrifying Goliath in the valley in between them. We're taken to this quiet little town of Bethlehem to hear about a young boy who was too small to join his brothers in the army. See, there was a national crisis in the Valley of Elah. Death was terrifying in the Valley of Elah. And we're taken to Bethlehem? What has this boy looking after his dad's sheep in the hills around Bethlehem? What's he got to do with the horror emerging in the Valley of Elah? The God of the unexpected. There is a secret in 1 Samuel chapter 16, which we haven't looked at, but if you've read through 1 Samuel, as I hope you will be doing, you would have read just before you got to chapter 17. In 1 Samuel 16, this boy from Bethlehem had actually been chosen by God to be Israel's next king. Very few people knew that yet. It was a very private matter and very few were there and not many people know that. But for those in on the secret, like us reading the book, it does make the shepherd boy from Bethlehem rather interesting. What's going to happen? I'll come back to the story. Verse 16 reminds us that back in the Valley of Elah, Goliath was doing his thing. Verse 16, for 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. So twice a day, for 40 days, Goliath repeated the act that we saw last week. Out he came with his dazzling, terrifying gear, shouting his threats and his abuse at the Israelites. Twice a day for 40 days. And the people of Israel on their side of the valley trembled. for 40 days. They must have been wondering, how long is this going to go on? Is there any end in sight? Has anyone got a plan? How do we get out of this? But as far as we can see, and it seems to be fairly obvious, that the news about Goliath had not yet reached Bethlehem. There was no social media in those days. Wasn't that good? But back in Bethlehem, where Jesse, David's dad, he was there, of course, and he was thinking about his boys away with the army. So verse 17, Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. And also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. Well, David, this is something that David had done before. His dad would send him off with some gifts of food for his boys, some treats. It was all very ordinary. There was also a gift for the commander of their unit. Was the kind of thing that many fathers might do to the great embarrassment of their sons. But the old man just wanted to know how his boys were doing. Were they okay? And again, you might reasonably ask, what's that got to do with the really important troubles in the Valley of Elah, the God of the unexpected? Verse 19, now Saul and they, that's the brothers, and all the men of Israel were in the Valley of Elah, that bit's right, fighting with the Philistines. Well, that's not quite right. That's what Jesse thought was going on. We know that King Saul and the army of Israel, including the brothers, were doing nothing of the sort. They were trembling with terror at the menacing Philistine in the middle of the valley with his abuse and his scorn and his threats. Were they fighting with the Philistines? No, they were paralyzed in their fear. But Jesse didn't know that, and nor did David yet. And so young David set off on his very ordinary errand. Verse 20, and David rose early in the morning, good on him, and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. All very ordinary. A lad doing what his dad had told him to do. He was a good boy. But don't forget, the God of the unexpected. Read on in verse 20, and he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. So David arrived at the army camp just as there was some movement. The army was lining up on their side of the valley. There was shouting, there was lots of noise. David, remember, he doesn't know much about the situation at the moment, but David must have thought that any moment now the fighting would begin. Well, David was too much of a boy to miss this. So verse 22, David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. I'd say just as well his dad couldn't see him, don't you think? I'm pretty sure David was not meant to go to the battle lines. But if David was hoping to see some fighting, he was in for a big surprise. Verse 23, as he talked with them, with his brothers, behold the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. Goliath. He was now being seen for the first time. Not by us, of course, and not by anyone else in the Valley of Elah that day, but by David. The Philistine terrorist repeated his abusive threats, as he's now been doing twice a day, every day. We heard him last week in verse 10. We heard what he said. I defy, I mock the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. The only difference this time, and it's a difference that's going to be very important, although no one could have guessed that at the time. It's noted at the very end of verse 23. See those words? And David heard him. David heard him. Did anyone notice that? I doubt it. Did anyone care that young David from Bethlehem heard Goliath that day? Well, of course not. But this is the turning point. Actually, it is going to turn out to be a turning point in the history of the world. But no one in the valley of Elah could see that. And David heard him. The God of the unexpected was at work. But as far as everyone on this side of the Valley of Elah was concerned, nothing had changed since the first time they'd heard Goliath. So verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, fled from him and were much afraid. They were all terrified. Understandably. That's what Goliath did to people. What do you think King Saul was planning to do about this situation? Had he decided that he's the king after all, had he decided that he really had to go and face the dreadful enemy himself? Well, not exactly. Had he drawn up a battle plan to lead the troops down into the valley and deal with these invaders? Well, not exactly that either. Everyone was talking about the government's plan to deal with the crisis. Familiar with that? Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. Okay, we all get that. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. No more taxes. See, everyone was talking about the government's incentive scheme to get us out of this mess. And David picked up on the chatter that was going on around him. Verse 26, David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You notice he had two questions. The first one wasn't all that important. What did you say will be done for the man who sorts out this problem? But the second question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who does this Philistine think he is? Said the lad from Bethlehem. Now, no one among all the Israelites had been talking like that. Not King Saul, not anyone. They had simply been trembling with terror. But young David, well, he was outraged at this uncircumcised Philistine. That is, this pagan worshipper of dead gods who was mocking not only Israel, but Israel's God, the living God. Now, again, we need to try to appreciate as best we can how in this situation David's words were extraordinary. If you'd heard them, I wonder how you'd react. Is this the bravado of a teenager? Been watching too many video games? Or is it something more? The people answered David's first question in verse 27, and the people answered him in the same way, so it shall be done for the man who kills him. But David's second question, well, they didn't have anything to say. Well, someone did. It was one of those closest to David who knew him best. It was his oldest brother. Verse 28, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. Eliab was a rather typical older brother, I'm sorry to say. To him, David was an annoying young nuisance. He'd come along just for the excitement and he was getting in the way. Too big for his little boots, really. He should be back looking after that little flock of sheep. That's his job. This is no place for a child. Well, David felt like many younger brothers. Verse 29, David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? Can't I even speak? And if you've had an older brother or sister, you might understand how young David was feeling. In verse 30, and he turned away from Eliab towards another, and he spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. And so the boy moved from one group of soldiers to another, asking his astonishing questions. Perhaps many who heard him that day saw him as an annoying young nuisance. How wrong they were. The God of the unexpected. No one in the valley of Elah that day, perhaps with one exception, but no one had any idea that this boy from Bethlehem could be the one through whom God would save the people from their terrible enemy. I'm sure it never crossed the mind of any of the soldiers, including, of course, David's big brothers, that the help they desperately needed would come from Bethlehem. They were making a big mistake, as we are going to see over the next 2 weeks. God is the God of the unexpected. But it's time for us to pause again as we follow this brilliant story. But we must ask, what does this mean for us? Because you see, 1,000 years after the events that we've been witnessing this morning, a descendant of David was born in the town of Bethlehem. And as he grew up, he went around saying things that were even more provocative, more surprising, more audacious than anything David said that day in the Valley of Elah. And you know, those who knew him best, or who thought they did, those from his own hometown who'd seen him grow up, well, they reacted a little bit like Eliab. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things?" And they took offence at him. It was an understandable mistake, just as Eliab's mistake was understandable. But it was a big mistake. And friends, it is still a big mistake to take offence at the unexpected ways of God. I'm sure that it never crosses the mind of many people today that the help we really, really need has come from Bethlehem. If we need someone to deal with the terrifying power that Goliath wielded, the power of death, we need to be prepared to hear about the God of the unexpected. A Saviour has come. He was born in Bethlehem. And he has come to do to death what we are going to see David do to Goliath and the Philistines over the next couple of weeks. Don't be like the Israelites in the Valley of Elah. Don't be like Eliab, who thought young David was not worth taking seriously. You see, to trust God, we must be prepared for the unexpected. What God does is unexpected. It comes from Bethlehem. I hope you'll join us next week for episode 3, but for now, let us pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for these events and the accounts of them that we find in the Bible that have been written there for our learning, that have been recorded for us to understand, yes, to understand the great things you've done in the past. But as we understand those things, these narratives are here to help us to understand what you have now done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us to have the wisdom to listen to the news about the God of the unexpected and to find the Saviour who has come from Bethlehem to save us. Yep, to save us even from the power of death. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.